Okay, here we go. Now, and I do mean here we go. We have been covering the mRNA spike injection of death now for, we're into our third year. It's been 2 years this month since the major rollout began of these death injections, which have absolutely nothing to do with public health, with your health, my health, no one's health. They were designed to reduce the population. That's it. So here we are, 2 years into that, and this year and next year are going to be very brutal for everyone. All right. You there, partner?
I am. Good evening, Jeff.
Well, good evening, Erica. How the hell are you?
About the same as yesterday.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Yes. All right. We have in this formerly United States of America a military offensive and defensive posture and protocol, which is often referred to as a triad. We have our land-based ICBMs. We have our airborne bombers with now cruise missiles with nuclear warheads and regular bombs. And we have our ocean-going nuclear fleet, most prominently demonstrated by these enormous submarines with up to 24 ICBMs, yeah, ICBMs in each one. So we have a triad. We have three primary legs to stand on here. Now, we have covered this issue from the beginning primarily as being it's a duopoly. We have the mRNA, which is injected into the body, and the mRNA instructions, as you know, find a cell and they worm their way in through the liquid nanoparticle protection and the PEG protection, and they go into that cell and they cause that cell to no longer produce the normal array of proteins for normal body functions that that cell always did. That cell now is a spike protein factory, exclusively spike protein. So we have the mRNA, number one, and the number two punch, the spike protein. Now, we've kept it rather simple in terms of talking about it for a long time because it's difficult enough for people to understand. And if we start throwing in minutiae, which is very important, it could become so quickly confusing for people that they would withdraw and tune out. Well, we've come to the point now where there has been another very important research paper done, and I had it posted 2 days ago. It's up there now in the archive section on the right side of the page. And it is basically telling us that this weapon has three major components that we should look at and think about. The mRNA, the resultant spike, which Dr. Chetty amply described as the deadliest thing that mankind has ever created. And now we have something called a DNA bacterially oriented plasmid. It's a sequence, a plasmid, a DNA plasmid. The DNA plasmid comes in a couple of different styles, a circular style and a linear style. The linear style makes that plasmid able to get into body cells in the nucleus and integrates with your DNA. Oh, happy day. The plasmids generally are using this circular configuration to get into bacteria. They like E. coli bacteria. In fact, these synthetic plasmids have been equipped with E. coli coding information. They go right to them. There are many different kinds of E. coli. Just remember that. This plasmid has a read sequence in it, right? The SV40. And many of you will remember the SV40. That's the simian cancer virus that was found in the Salk polio vaccines. SV40. It tells the bacteria what to read and what to produce. So the plasmid goes into an E. coli bacteria and instructs it through DNA instructions what to produce. And what it produces is, guess what? the mRNA instructions that go into your cells, that order your cells to produce spike proteins. How clever. That's, we were trying to figure out how the mRNA was replicating or being replicated. And now we know. These plasmids did it. And they did it by going into the E. coli bacteria of their choice. We think they can probably go into other bacteria as well. But the bottom line is, they're taking charge of your microbiome. All of the digestive bacteria in your digestive system are now on the table and in jeopardy. Most especially, first and foremost, the E. coli. Now, these plasmids are built so ingeniously that they also can instruct the E. coli on how to become antibiotic resistant. Get it? So the new home for these plasmids is E. coli, which is now antibiotic resistant. How clever. As we've been saying, whoever thought this up didn't miss a trick, all right? It actually arms the E. coli to be resistant to antibiotics. So it's taking charge of your microbiome, your digestive bacteria, and it begins to produce the mRNA instruction packets immediately. And those are released to go find a cell to transfect. Now, these bacteria are not necessarily restricted to the microbiome and the digestive tract. They can also inhabit these plasmids, bacteria, anywhere in your body. That's what we think. In other words, it could be on your skin, in your saliva, and all body fluids, etc., etc. So this is how mRNA becomes permanent in your body. People used to think, well, the mRNA is going to fade away and I won't be producing spike proteins anymore. Guess again. The plasmids have guaranteed in perpetuity, virtually, that you will be producing mRNA instructions to destroy yourself with a spike protein. I'm really sorry to say this. This is not a joke. So when you think about whoever built this, constructed into these plasmids, synthetic, the SV40 promoter, you get the idea that this is ingeniously, demonically evil, beyond belief evil. Now, there is a particular kind of bacteria in your digestive tract that you need. It's called bifido. They're finding babies now who are literally depleted, if not completely denuded, of bifido in their digestive tracts. And they should be coming out of the mother with a good complement to start, and then the breast milk is supposed to build the bifido, but it's not there. They're finding babies with nothing. And you, all of you out there, probably if you were tested, would be found to have very little bifido left. You want somehow to repopulate with that, or better yet, feed your bifido with the food it loves best, which are saccharides, sugars. You can buy that online. So this is a very, very complicated issue. I hope you've understood that, because I'm going to step back now and let my fabulous partner take over and correct my mistakes. Go ahead.
Oh, that was fantastic. I don't think I could have summed it up any better.
Really?
No, you're to be commended on your presentation.
Well, thank you. Remind me to buy you a root beer float.
Uh-huh. I'll do better than that. How about an ice cream sundae?
I'll take it.
But no, that was very, you know, very succinct and accurate. And that's what is likely happening. And it would explain why there does seem to be a bacterial component involved, you know, with much of this bioweapon illness, whether it's from the injection or the infection. But they've ensured now with the injection that you're getting the ability with these plasmids to have your microbiome altered in such a way that it will be producing the instructions for the toxin to basically kill you over time.
Let me say one other thing real quick, and I always try and do this. Erica deserves so much credit. 2 years ago plus on this program, she was talking about the microbiome being somehow a key to this whole horror, this genocidal horror. And here we are, and there's the data, and she was right. So well done.
Well, that pertained to the virus, but now, as I said, they've ensured that the same thing is going to happen, maybe exponentially, with these injections.
Yep.
It is worrisome. And going back, when we were discussing the various, some of the various strategies of biowarfare, altering the gut microbiome of a host was a known method. It was well described, and it would be kind of a stealth method of attacking a population if you could introduce something that would colonize the host microbiome and begin producing some sort of pathogenic toxin that would wear them down or incapacitate them or kill them. It would be a desirable stealth weapon. You know, you couldn't really pinpoint where it came from. What's making the person sick? And no one would think to look in the microbiome. What's colonizing the microbiome?
No.
So
now, one other thing with these plasmids, they're probably carrying oncogenic sequences. Okay, and that will answer, to some degree, the question, where are all these cancers coming from? Why so many cancers now? We got cancers from A to Z. And if you've been shot up, turbo cancer, goodbye. It's not a pretty picture. Oncogenics.
So much of the immune system is just crippled and incapacitated with these things.
VADs.
You know, and your gut microbiome is, by some estimations, 70% of your immune system. Those microbes that colonize the gastrointestinal tract do communicate with the cells of your body intimately. And when that's messed up, you've got problems.
People have been so disconnected from their bodies for so long because of our lifestyle, the culture, the idea of processed foods and toxins and chemicals and the AMA and everything. We used to have it over 100 years ago when they taught natural medicine. And one of the things about natural medicine was that the average individual back in the day, 125 years ago or thereabout or more, would know where their kidneys were. They would know where their lungs and liver are. And not a joke. This is not funny. You go to the average person on the street now and interview 100 of them and ask them to identify where their major organs are, and yeah, it's going to be a comedy show. People just don't know. They have been taken out of self-reliance and personal responsibility and accountability for their own health for so damn long that what's left? Now they have AIDS caused by the vaccine, or VADs, which is literally extant in anyone who's been injected with one or more of these shots. You've got a diminished immune system. Door is open. It's like AIDS, but it's caused in this case by the vax, the deadly bioweapon that's owned by the DOD and the Pentagon. It's not a vaccination. Don't forget that.
No, and the fact that these plasmids are in there, I mean, the plasmids, just for the record, are used in the production process to render the mRNA. So they grow a culture of in this case, E. coli bacteria with these plasmids that code for that particular sequence. And the E. coli, you know, spit out the mRNA. And there should be a separation purification process to extract the mRNA from that culture. And so they have plausible deniability, saying, well, you know, we didn't quite do it right.
Yeah.
So in these vials, it's been determined that there are these plasmids along with the E. coli. You know, whether those E. coli are viable or not, I don't know. But the plasmids are there, and they can be uptaken by your own native bacteria, E. coli, and maybe other species. and began replicating and churning out the mRNA for the spike and whatever else is coded in there. There are some unknowns, unidentifiable sequences. What do those code for?
We don't even know. There's a protein in the Pfizer death shot, and we still don't know what that's all about. And that's a big protein. It's apparently as big or bigger than the spike. And we don't know
Correct.
What it does.
Right.
So at least we know now another major piece of the puzzle, that these injections have three primary, we'll just call them primary components. They're probably more, but we've got the instructions to build the spike. We've got the spike itself, and now we have the plasmids to build the instructions. How evil does
That's right.
it get? It's
well, and here's another source for the cancer, this linear DNA, which is ripe for integration into your DNA. Depending on where that gets integrated, if it's in the area of a tumor promoter or tumor suppressor, you know, it's going to alter the function of that gene.
Right. Right. It's just... I don't know how
it's daunting. It's really
How are the masses ever really to wrap their mind around what's been done to them? They're not going to be able to. It's just very difficult. And then we bring in the whole issue of shedding, and which is crucial, and it's what the planners, whoever they were, decided to do to make sure that they picked up the unvaccinated. The shedding.
Right.
You are being vaxxed passively just by being around those who have been the recipient of the shots, because they're constantly spewing through their exhalations, all their body fluids, their skin, you name it, they're shedding. And you're picking it up if you're around them all the time. We're going to play a video here in a couple minutes that is kind of pathetically amusing.
We'll
get to there.
Do we have the one with Dr. Sabine Hazen on the bifido? Dr. Sabine Hazen is a gastroenterologist, microbiologist, has made a career of studying the microbiome of people, sequencing it and identifying what's a healthy profile, what's not a healthy profile, what do these bacteria do. And during the pandemic, she was one of the ones that realized that ivermectin had a big role to play in helping people overcome this illness. And she surmised, she actually wrote a paper hypothesizing that ivermectin is beneficial in one way because it seems to be feeding the bifidobacteria and giving people a boost in immunity through increasing their colonies of bifidobacteria.
That's
what she's finding now. So ivermectin does many things. And again, this is a hypothesis. It's not necessarily proven, but she's got a strong suspicion that may be one of its beneficial effects. But this is the fact that she's finding so many people now who have been vaxxed that are devoid, literally devoid, of the bifidobacteria strains is alarming, because that's one of your prime defenses against opportunistic pathogens like the C. coli.
Right. Right.
And she is wondering if maybe there's something in the shot, such as a phage or phage, P-H-A-G-E, that is going after the bifido and destroying it.
Destroying it. Okay, she's ready when you're ready.
Okay.
Ready to go. All right.
So the first four patients, I started noticing a month later, the bifidobacteria, this important microbe, is dropping in patients pre and post vaccination. So then I started like asking myself, wait a minute, what's going on here? I mean, is it creating a bifidophage? You know, because this is precision medicine. This is forensics of the gut, right? You've got your microbiome this way before and you've got it after, and it's the same patient, and only a certain group of microbes are getting killed, you got to pay attention. So then, you know, 10, 20, 30, 34 patients later, we're seeing this, you know, killing of the bifidobacteria. And so I wasn't going to, first of all, there's no way I was going to publish this because nobody would have taken that. So I decided to submit it to the American College of Gastro. as a presentation, as a poster. It got accepted at the American College of Gastro as a poster, and then it won the Best Research Award as a poster. So all my colleagues called me and said, hey, I saw your data. That's incredible. How do you think this is happening? What do you, the vaccine's supposed to be, you know, improving your immunity. And we all know bifidobacteria is a huge part of immunity. How do you think it's happening? So then I said, I think it's creating a bacteriophage or a bifidophage. And what we noticed is in four patients that we followed, which were amazing shape, you know, we followed them for 90 days. And then next thing you know, their bifidobacteria dropped to like zero, from like a million to like zero. So it kept persisting. So there was a persistence in the damage, and not only 90 days, but 6 months, 9 months later. So that was the thing that started making me panic. And then as we were looking at the microbiome of newborns to mothers who were breastfeeding, we started noticing that there's no bifidobacteria in those newborns. So we asked ourselves, well, I mean, because newborns are supposed to have a ton of bifidobacteria, right? 90% of the microbiome of babies is bifidobacteria. So we said, well, how come these babies born to moms that are breastfeeding that were vaccinated have zero bifidobacteria? Is the spike protein going to the breast milk, into the baby's gut, and killing whatever the baby's trying to build?
That's a very profound question. This thing is incredibly evil. These babies have nothing. Nothing. How can it be?
I'm without words. So, you know, what is the answer to it? I would make it a priority to feed your bifidobacteria. If not, you know, take a supplement. You can do it two ways. You know, take a supplement, probiotic supplement of bifido, or selectively feed it with these various types of digestive resistant starches, also known as oligosaccharides, and that should boost the numbers.
You want a balance in there, and bifido is one of the primaries. It's one of the big players, period. And
yeah,
how these children have none is just, it truly is mind-boggling when you think about it. How can that be?
They're going to be sickly.
They can't digest.
70% of the immune system is these bacteria that inhabit the gastrointestinal tract and also the skin and the mucosal membranes. It's really...
I know. Well, there's
think of this.
From a pro... that doctor is right on something that actually frightened her, as it should.
Yeah.
Should frighten us all. Our children, first of all, we know that these injections are killers. Secondly, we know they are sterilizing people, males and females. And now we know they're leading to the birth of children, apparently from vax mothers, but we don't know that necessarily to be an absolute. And they're coming out with their immune system, 75% of which is not going to be able to be functional because they've got no proper microbiome. It's
right.
Not there. There's no bifido. They can't digest right. They're not. They're killing the babies that are somehow being able to be born after the parents have been shot up or exposed and passively shot up. And it's just crazy.
And if they become colonized with this strain of E. coli that codes for the mRNA for the spike protein, what is their future? There just isn't one, as far as I can see.
I'm completely in agreement. This thing continues to boggle my mind how complex it is, how many different ways and pathways it has to destroy life. It's astonishing. And how the people bought into it and lined up. Get that shot. Get fear-based. That's all it was, fear-based reflex. And now they're talking more and more about H5N1. Maybe about to break out among people. They're saying, well, they found a skunk with it now, and the birds are going to be flying home with it, and it may be all over the place. And if it mutates just a little bit it'll jump to people, and it'll turn into a person-to-person vector. And then it's got a 50 or 60% case fatality rate. Wow. So that could happen. I don't want it to happen, but they're certainly laying the groundwork for it. That's what it looks like.
Well, again, you have, what, maybe 70% of the population in an immune-compromised state?
Oh, easy. Yeah.
It's not going to take much to push them over the edge.
No. No, and they'll come up with some Remdesivir 2.0 to give everybody to make sure they die. No joke. All right.
Yeah.
Now, we have an interesting video here. It's just 4 minutes long or so, five actually. Has to do with, these are a group of massage therapists. It's a big business. A lot of massage therapy around. I have never done it. I've never felt comfortable with the whole idea of having someone sweating over me with hands that can't be sanitized, rubbing stuff into my pores. So I've never done it. It's creepy. Anyway, that's just me. So here's a story. It's an actual phone call with four or five of these rubbers who are there. And then so I'll just play it. You take a listen here. I think you'll find it interesting. We'll explain to a degree what we think is going on, because the sheets that they're using are no longer white. All right, think about that. Here we go. Okay. There we go.
Vaccinated people, like if you have oil.
Let me start that again. There we go.
Thanks for calling the Ejected Show.
Oh, hi. I have a question. For massage therapists, would touching vaccinated people, like if you have oil on your hands, would you still be getting spike proteins?
She's asking, as a caller, if I touch my clients, if I touch vaccinated clients with my hands, can I be shed upon? That's what she's asking.
If they're shedding?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say yes.
I'm the spa director in me. I'm a spa director in our spa here with all my massage therapists. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be distributed in sweat, in urine, in saliva.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, do you recommend taking like the natokinase, or
are you taking, or do you suggest taking natokinase? Is what the caller is asking.
For something, if you're being exposed to a lot of people.
Yes. I highly recommend natokinase or the other ingredients like dandelion root that we have in a blend in spike support. You can buy it separately if you want, but it's pretty darn affordable.
All right. Now, they're giggling and laughing. They're selling something called spike support. And we've gone through the ingredients, and there's nothing earth-shaking. It's just another product that is for sale to those who are in fear. And that's the primary motivator for a lot of people. Got to get this supplement. Got to get it. So they're selling it at $70 a bottle.
To get it all in one.
And how do you feel actually about like the liquid gloves? I know a lot of my therapists use like liquid glove. It's like a lotion that they put on that they say protects.
Oh,
yeah.
The lotion?
It's
I've never heard of it.
It's called,
okay, I'll have to look into
I think
that.
It's called liquid glove, but a lot of my therapists will put that on, and they also put it on, you know, all over forearms, hands, you know, whatever you're using as your tool. And they have seen success on their end of feeling better, so that might be something for you to try too. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but
what's our force of nature
for that?
Force of nature.
Okay,
force
and nature. Also one more thing.
Hypochlorous acid.
Yeah, you can put it in your diffuser.
Yeah.
And it can actually go in the air. And actually, that's what I've been doing recently with family visiting who's vaccinated. And so it goes...
Hydrochloric acid?
No. It's hypo...
Definitely don't...
It's not hydrochloric. Tell them what it is.
Hypochlorous acid. Known as Briotech or MMS or CDS.
Don't make a mistake. It's hypochlorous with an S on the end.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I couldn't hear you good.
Just pour hydrochloric acid when a client comes in for a massage. Just pour hydrochloric acid on them.
Yeah, all over them, and you're good.
All
of
the day.
But yeah, look into the liquid glove. I know a lot of my team is really, really sensitive, and one of them is older, and she found that using the liquid glove made a huge difference on the impact of her health.
Wow.
Perfect. Okay. Are there any symptoms that other therapists are reporting, like any symptoms, like anything specific from being exposed? I mean, I've been doing massages for like 2 years, like almost 2 years now, like during, you know, after COVID, all this.
I haven't heard anything really from my team. I would say like the majority of my therapists, I only have maybe one or two that are vaccinated, but the rest are all unvaccinated. And, they don't really report too much, but they also do a lot of like detox stuff whenever they're home and, you know, find whatever works for them. But if you shoot us an email or if you want, you can shoot us an email and I would be happy to connect with you on other things.
Can I ask a question? Have you, as a massage therapist, noticed, do you use white sheets?
Oh yeah, our sheets are white and they're disgusting.
Oh, Dr. Gessling,
within a day.
This is what my mom talks about in the vacation rental industry.
They've turned completely tan, and no one knows why. I mean, I know why, but I am now like looking at just purchasing tan sheets because the white ones within one wash they're disgusting.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's what's happening. I talked to another massage therapist, and she said that her sheets are turning tan and brown with the vaccinated.
Yeah, I can show you. I should take pictures. We just purchased brand new sheets last week.
And I need to write an article about this. I got an article.
So Unjected Grandma talks about this. That's my mom, Dr. Gessling. She does vacation rentals. She helps take care of them. And yeah, the same issue. White sheets are all now have this film. Yellowed.
Do we know what the film is?
Is that the spike, you think?
I think it's probably the spike.
The spike shed, actually shedding.
I mean, it's like if it's in your sweat, if it's coming out of your pores, I don't know.
That'd be interesting to send off to like a lab somewhere and get it like analyzed.
Totally.
Like Mike Adams, we need to get with Mike Adams, have his lab get on
it. It does not matter how much bleach.
Yeah, that would be great.
They're gross.
Yeah. It is kind of funny that of all colors, the spike protein would be yellow, which is like cowardly.
Okay, I think that's enough. Pardon the ditzy nature of that crew, but the idea was that they're in a hands-on business, which in this day and age is now should be abandoned immediately by anybody with any common sense. You don't want to go there anymore. People do not tell the truth about their vax status, for one thing. Secondly, you're in an environment, whatever hands-on business you're in, if you're a chiropractor, a massage, a rubber, whatever you are, you touch people and you are putting yourself in grave danger. Simple. That's the truth. So what's causing, Miss Erica, the sheets to turn tan? We thought initially that it might be iron, and it may be to some degree, but there are other issues involved that few understand and few talk about, but you've found some things that are, I think, very interesting. What do you come up with?
This is a condition. Colored sweat is a condition known as chrome hydrosis. Chrome meaning color, hydrosis meaning sweat. And sweat can be colored for a few different reasons, the most common being deposits of something known as lipofuscin, L-I-P-O-F-U-S-C-I-N, in the sweat glands. And lipofuscin is a pigment that's, most people know it as liver spots or age spots on their skin. And it's cellular debris. It's a combination of fats, lipids, and typically metals, because it's oxidized fat. And it's fat, or these deposits don't get cleared out, and they the more oxidative stress you have and the more iron you have or metals, these things will appear more and more with age. And because of the oxidative stress that's going on in the vaxxed, this lipid peroxidation, it's not a surprise that they would be suffering from this condition, chrome hydrosis, where, you know, their secretions are actually this lipofuscin coming out through their pores. Now, there's another possibility that the bacteria that is colonizing their skin could be producing this color. And there's one in particular called Carinobacterium, which is a normal component of the skin microbiome. And that has been known to produce kind of a brownish pigment.
These bacteria also produce aromas, okay?
Yes, this particular strain of bacteria, this Carinobacterium, and this, by the way, is the same bacteria that can produce diphtheria. If it's infected by a certain phage, it will begin to produce this toxin, diphtherian toxoid. But normally, it's a normal inhabitant of a person's microbiome, including that which lives on the skin, and they can produce certain colors or turn the sweat certain colors, most notably brown or brown, I would say. But then they can also be genetically modified to produce aldehydes, as in fragrant aldehydes, flowery, perfumey aldehydes. And the fact that we are now seeing this phenomenon of the vaxxed exuding these perfumey smells suggests that maybe it's the bacteria on their skin that's producing these fragrances rather than, well, they themselves. It's more likely the bacteria that's colonizing their skin, and they've somehow acquired a gene for a protein to produce these aldehydes that have a fragrance. And you can actually find research on this online. I had a study right here talking about genetically modifying this type of bacteria to produce these fragrances.
Here's a list of them. I won't name the actual bacteria that causes them, but just to give you an idea of the odor availability from different bacteria, freshly cut apples, yeast, dirty sneakers, putrid fecal, fruity, bleach or cracker, wet fur, my favorite, musty basement. What the hell's a musty basement smell like? All right. Pungent and straight out fecal and then acrid and then burnt chocolate, fruity, grape-like, dirty sneakers again, butterscotch, and last but not least, Streptomyces spp, musty basement again. So this is a range of the descriptions of the aromas that these particular microbes can cause. So very interesting. The putrid, the fecal putrid, is from Clostridium difficile, just FYI. Dirty sneakers, Citrobacter spp. Interesting descriptions. So bacteria can do a lot of things, including tantalize your nose. How's that?
Well, now, you know, knowing that these plasmids are a part of these cocktails that are being injected, is there some gene in there that's altering the bacteria, being uptaken by the bacteria, so that they're producing these different fragrances? I mean, there's no doubt that some of these smells are, you know, the ammonia that they're not able to metabolize. A lot of these people have high levels of ammonia because their livers and kidneys are failing. And then, the gases that back up when there's hepatic or portal hypertension. From what I can tell, this whole aroma thing is getting much, much worse. Much, much worse. More intense, more frequent.
So bacteria out of balance from a dysbiotic digestive system, microbiome, all out of whack, it could be related to all the above here.
The, you know, not only is the person being genetically modified, but their entire microbiome is now something other than what it should be.
Wow. More, it just gets to be more complicated all the time, but it's been complicated all this time. We just are now beginning to work our way into new areas of understanding. It's just an incredible weapon that has been turned loose on humanity. No other way to look at it.
I have suspected, even without this knowledge now, that there are plasmids, viable plasmids, in these shots, that just the mRNA themselves would have the potential to alter the microbiome. I mean, every cell in your body is going to be exposed to this thing when it's injected.
Right.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse. I haven't heard too much better lately. That's just
no.
Usually for worse. Okay, that's a pretty good dose of information for all of you out there. Listen to the program 2-3 times, share it, spread it around. It's one way we can fight back is with knowledge, and that's what we're trying to do for everyone. Okay, you want to head over to our little COVID Chronicles human file?
Of course. Let me get there.
All right. These are stories that Erica has been able to collate and collect from social media groups. There are groups for peri and myocarditis, for example. There are groups for clots and strokes and all of that. There's a group for almost every major category of injury that these shots are producing. And she tries to pull out the ones that are particularly interesting. There's too many, though. We do our best. From shedding to tinnitus at all points in between. Shedding is
probably the most heartbreaking one, though. I tell you, so the one with the young women with endometrial cancer.
They're just being butchered. There's no other word for it. They're being butchered.
And there's no shortage of them. I never would have thought women of that age. I mean, we're talking in some cases. There was one that was 16 years old.
16
with endometrial
cancer. Yep.
Let's see.
Okay. All right. Where do you want to start?
What
I got some
you
good
have?
Ones. These are. I have March 27. I think is at the top. Let's see.
March 24.
No. It's March 24 is the first group. March 24.
Okay. Let me.
As of today, March 27th. You find that group?
I'm looking. Hang on. Yep. Got it.
All right. We have. Shedding bladder, shedding blood clots, shedding doubts, shedding misery. Those might be important. They're all important, but myocarditis reality check.
We've done some of those.
Okay. We did do some. I don't think we got into the shedding group, though.
Okay.
And for our listeners, the best numbers we have right now, approximately 83% of America has been injected with the death shots. Approximately.
Adults.
That's all. This is adult population. So we don't have anything better than that. And 17% of the adults have not. Now, 17% of the adults are the target population of shedding. That's why they built shedding into this whole thing. They wanted to make sure that they only had to get like 3/4 shot up and they could pick up the rest through shedding. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. We've had people die from simply being around the vaxxed. We've had many, many people disabled for weeks and weeks, if not months. Some just for a couple of hours. They get a headache. They get nauseous, whatever. Then they They subside. Those symptoms go away. All right, where would you like to start? Rashes from shedding blood clots, whatever. It just lets you know the dynamics of shedding almost are limitless. They don't stop.
Yeah. How about parasitic behavior?
All right, there's a good one. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my experience, unfortunately, it is not only about shedding. The vaccinated people, they can no longer recharge on their own energy from the cosmos. So they become parasites. They are continually stealing our vital energy to survive, just like a vampire. I can feel immediately weakened as soon as a vax person comes close to me. And then there's also shedding. The shedding gives you more symptoms. I can relate to that. I do sense that, I think we've talked about this before, that they're, there's a certain clinginess about them, and in some cases they actually
They almost force themselves
out
physically to get near you. It's weird.
Or just to be around your energy.
Right.
Now, I would say, I don't know if they're trying to steal energy. That's one possibility. But my take on it was that they know that they're genetically compromised.
In trouble. Oh.
And they're looking to regain some kind of recalibrate themselves, maybe.
It's not a conscious behavior. It's deeper than that. But yes.
I think they're looking for the resonance to restore their compromised or corrupted DNA.
They're out of balance. They're a mess.
And they know it. And they're instinctively looking to recalibrate.
Interesting idea, for sure. Okay. Next. How about shedding misery? We got three there.
I think we did that.
Did we? Okay.
Yep.
I don't have them marked here because they were unable to be uploaded last time, remember?
That's right, yeah. So we did do that one. About shedding sickness?
Sure. Shedding sickness symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. First time for me to get eye symptoms from shedding. Swelling around the eyes, irritated, tearing eyes, red eyes. Usually it's nausea, chest pains, fatigue. The eye thing lasted a couple of days from the exposure, a hug from a jabbed friend. But since then, it comes back every so often, but with less swelling. For those who have the eye symptoms from shedding, how long do your symptoms last? And do you use any treatment? Hope somebody can share their experience. Go ahead.
And another question for you all. Do you tell vaxxed people about your symptoms? I've been avoiding people, not attending parties, reunions, group activities, but I don't tell them why. I just say I can't make it. It pains me to have to avoid loved ones or make them feel I'm too busy to make time for them. But I got a terrible reaction the one time I tried telling someone, so I don't anymore. Do any of you tell people? Have they been understanding about it?
Here's another one.
I know there were.
Shedding. This is, even the person who wrote this wrote, this is truly frightening. We know of a young man who did not take the kill shot, but his wife did. And they found this 29-year-old man, cold and purple in the morning. He fell asleep and never woke up. We are healthy and need to know the truth. Get on the phone and demand immediate criminal and medical investigations. Happen now. Every day, contact detectives and lower-level politicians. Well, that's a call to activism, which is fine. But the point is, this 29-year-old did not take the shot his wife did, and they're swapping body fluids, and you know, he's breathing her exhalations and so forth and so on. And the suggestion here is that he got spiked, and we know how the spike can surround the heart and interrupt the bioelectric cadence of the autonomic nerves and stop the heart. So maybe that happened to him. That would explain why a lot of these people just aren't waking up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any, is there another one here you want to jump on real quick?
Let's see. 2 to 3 days later, I had stroke-like symptoms for 5 days. This was after having a conversation outside with a vaxxed person. My eyes rolled like when someone has a stroke, and I felt like I couldn't stand up. It was unsafe for me to stand up because I felt like I was going to fall over. It was so scary. I haven't talked face-to-face with a jabbed person since. Wow. The only time I talked to jabbed people after that is when I had to tell my neighbors to be quiet at midnight when they were being loud outside. I talked to them from an open window. That time, it felt like someone grabbed my lungs and squeezed me for about an hour. I couldn't breathe. Talking to these people is too scary of an experience for me. Now they are causing me and my family fungal and bacterial infections in our ears just when being outside at the same time. I can't be outside at the same time as them because my shingles comes back.
Wow.
It is painful and causes me to have trouble walking. Dr. Bhakti said these people's immune systems will be so bad that they will be harboring disease, and I would say his assessment appears to be true from our observation.
Right. Well, and lest some of you think that these people are being, these are psychosomatic symptoms and reactions because this person is saying, oh, my God, these people are vaxxed and I might be breathing whatever they're exuding. Not necessarily, because people do become hypersensitized to these pathogens, which is what they are, that are being emitted by the vaxxed. And they can get severely compromised quickly. It's happened. We get too many stories like that.
Yeah, there does seem to be, with some of these people that have developed this type of sensitivity, it's partially an allergic reaction.
Hmm.
And as I said, you know, the spike was designed to be allergenic. And they succeeded. So, there may be a tipping point. You know, if you get a big dose of it and your immune system goes crazy, then you're forever sensitized to it.
Could be. Could easily be. All right. We have to wrap it up for tonight. Thanks to all of you for your care and your concern. And do share this program. And all of our programs are all up for you on the site. You know where they are. Thank you, young lady.
Okay.
Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back in a few minutes with another hour for you.